Those of you who were here and have good memories will recall that when I gave my two 10-minute word pictures of Augustine of Hippo, I mentioned that he'd been greatly influenced by Ambrose of Milan. He'd certainly stood in the crowd at the back of Ambrose Church listening to his sermons, and on one of those occasions he'd written down some words in his book. The actual words Ambrose said in the sermon were that David sinned is human, that he repented is exceptional. Men follow David into his sin, but they leave him when he rises into confession and repentance. Later on, Augustine summed up the influence that Ambrose had had on him. I was brought by God to Ambrose in order that Ambrose would show me the way to God. So you see, Ambrose was the human channel by which Augustine found Christ. I think it would be profitable for us all to find out a little more about this Ambrose. He was born in 339 into a family which had been Christian for many generations. He was proud of the fact that among his ancestors there was a martyr, Sotheris, a great aunt. He was the youngest of three children. The eldest was a girl, the second child was a brother. His father held one of the four top jobs in the Roman Empire. He was the ruler of all Gaul, or France as we would call it today. But when Ambrose was 12, his father died and the family returned to Rome. Now we know that when Jerome and Augustine went to Rome, they were immediately sucked into its immoral side. But when Ambrose went to Rome, something different happened. He resisted the temptations of city life, and he practiced a scriptural, biblical separation. By the time he was 30, he was a practicing lawyer. He had a top civil service post inside the Roman Empire, which gave him the rule of virtually all of northern Italy, and his base was Milan. And that's, of course, where Augustine heard him preach. After 4 years in that top job in the Roman civil service, he responded to a call to the Christian ministry, and he became what I think we must call one of the most outstanding preachers of that time. There are a few rather unusual features about his life. One is this, that personal worldliness was no problem to him, whereas to nearly everybody in this room, it's a serious problem. You see, the moment he committed himself to the Christian service, although he was very rich in this world's goods, both by inheritance and by his earning power, he simply gave his money and his estates away to the poor, largely. I know he had his faults, and don't we all? But I don't think there's one person in this building who hates luxury in the way Ambrose hated luxury. He said, luxury is an enemy of serious godliness. He was not a lover of things, objects. Like Athanasius, he believed that the church's foundation could be destroyed if there was a denial that Jesus was not the true God as well as true man. He always linked fasting with prayer, but never ostentatiously and never when exercising hospitality. 10 years after he became a minister in Milan, the emperor was only a child, actually a babe in arms, and power was in the hands of the mother, Justina. This Justina denied the truth of the Trinity. She was no Christian. And she ordered some of her soldiers to go to Milan and seize a church building so that the anti-Trinitarians, the Ambrose haters, could use it for their own purposes. Ambrose and the other Christians immediately organised a sit-in in the same building to try and stop Justina taking it over. And it was there that he started to write hymns in Latin. He was the first of these church fathers ever to write hymns in praise of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they used those hymns in community hymn singing in that church. One of them is on the board here. And it's almost certain that number 62 in our book was written in the year 385 on that occasion when Justina's soldiers were trying to take that church. Actually, he took an awful risk because the soldiers could quite easily have drawn their swords and a massacre could have followed. But as it was, Ambrose won through. And it was he who established a principle at that time that the highest in the state, even Roman emperors, could be inside the church, but they could not be over the church. Sadly, he was only 57 when he died suddenly in the year 397. Behind him, he left a legacy of 31 books, and he is, as I say, the father of Latin hymns. As with so many of these early church fathers, he did hold some false teachings, but not on the crucial issue of salvation by Christ's free and sovereign grace alone. Every biblical Christian who studies these early church fathers is perplexed by their lack of understanding on some issues. Scott's divine John Duncan once said, "I don't think they would have stood a theological examination by John Owen." He's the great Puritan theologian. The church fathers may not have been precise about a variety of things, but they had a fervour which is lacking in the modern Christian church. They would have sacrificed anything for Christ, including themselves, and some of them did just that. By their standard of prayerful self-denial, the believers among us are really playing at Christianity, at being Christians, largely because we make so few sacrifices for the gospel. Like Augustine, he didn't need to make a will because he didn't own anything. Let's end with some of his own words. He wrote these in the year 390, and they were preached in front of a Roman emperor. But if the Holy Spirit takes hold of them, they're as good for us in 1992, over 1,600 years later. Ambrose said, "I call on you to repent. You must humble your soul with tears before God. No angel can forgive you. Christ alone can forgive you, and he forgives only those who repent. Therefore, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved now."